Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
A united Ireland would pose a strategic threat to Britain from Russia and China, according to a former senior NATO commander. Rear Admiral Chris Parry was addressing MPs and members of the House of Lords yesterday. He also said that Chinese warships and submarines would soon be active in Irish waters alongside Russian vessels. And Rear Admiral Chris Parry is on the line from London now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you very much for being with us. So tell us why you think a united Ireland would be dangerous for the UK from a strategic point of view.
Yes. What I should stress up front is there's nothing to do with politics. It's everything to do with geopolitics and the fact that Ireland has been neutral in the past. It's obviously invested according to its needs in terms of defence. But we're seeing greater and greater threats now in the waters around our islands. We're seeing what we call grey zone warfare, which is attempts to disrupt submarine cables. Ireland's going to have a huge 37 gigawatt offshore energy industry soon. And what we've seen in the Baltic against Danish, against Swedish and against Norwegian installations, I think we're going to start seeing to the west of Ireland now. There's another issue for the UK in as much as that we've seen Russian submarines practicing missile firings against the UK. And as those missiles cross in wartime against Ireland, the actual topography gives shielding to those missiles if they're fired from the west of Ireland. And finally, of course, if you don't have Northern Ireland as a separate country, part of the United Kingdom, either side of the North Channel, it's going to make it very difficult for the UK to deploy its ballistic missile submarines. So that's at heart what the problem is.
So you say that access to Northern Ireland for the UK is really strategically important. But what indicates to you that that level of cooperation would significantly change? Because I was looking back at the former head of the Irish Defence Forces, Mark Mellett, who said that while we are militarily unaligned at the moment, the notion of neutrality now, he says, is a myth. So his contention is that this cooperation is already happening.
Yeah, I think we agree. But the trouble is there is no formal arrangement. And as we know, without some form of treaty or something like that, then we can't be assured that we're going to get cooperation. I mean, for example, in terms of missile attack, we need a really good radar in the west of Ireland to pick up these missiles as they come in. What I've suggested in trying to get Ireland on board, there are two options. One is that Ireland can join NATO and it can be just like Iceland. It doesn't really conflict with the very sincere neutrality that Ireland has had in the past. Mm-hmm. Iceland, for example, doesn't contribute any military forces, but it does say we're going to have forward basing and, if necessary, troops here in the event of war. I've also said that it would be useful, I think, to have NATO and European exercises in Ireland's economic zone, which goes out to 200 miles, and that would show presence and show commitment to Ireland as well as to the rest of the British Isles.
I'm sure you're aware, Chris, how deeply held by so many here in Ireland our neutral status is.
Yeah, absolutely. But as many of your commentators are saying now, neutrality is a very strange thing now. We've had Sweden, we've had Finland as neutrals. They've seen the threat from Russia and they're now part of NATO. And as I'm saying, I'm not saying that Ireland needs to be part of NATO, but I think we've got to have a common defence and security policy where Irish and British concerns and interests actually cross. Mm-hmm. I said in the House of Lords, we have so many shared interests and shared threats now, it's crazy not to have some sort of cooperation whereby we say, look, we live in these islands, we need to defend them.
I know you said at the start that this is not about the political, but I note that the prominent unionist Nigel Dodds was there along with Sammy Wilson at your House of Lords briefing on this. Are you concerned at all that what you're saying about geopolitics could be used as pushback against any momentum towards a united Ireland?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But I think we have to be realistic. I mean, I also said, it's time after 100 years, for us to remember what we have in common, what not what divides us between Britain and Ireland. And certainly going forward.
You want Ireland to forget the history with Britain. Is that what you said?
not at all. I'm a historian. No. What we have to say is, look, there are certain realities today and you have bigger threats than, you know, the Brits to worry about. It's the Russians and the Chinese. And together we need to face that as free people if we wish to remain free and secure.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think that argument is going to go down here? I'm sure you understand why it would be quite hard for an Irish audience to hear this, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think the world's changed and it's changing very rapidly indeed. And, you know, I would say to people in Kerry and in Kildare, you know, you're facing the same threats that the people of Kent and Keighley are facing. The missiles and drones that are being used in Ukraine right now will reach Ireland if the Russians feel they have to. Mm-hmm. And so the world has changed and, you know, we're bigger than this as a people. You know, I've said I've many Irish friends. I've played rugby in Ireland. You know, we have so much more in common than we have opposing. That's the point.
And I'm sure you know as well that we've increased our defence spending here, and the plan is that it will hit 1.8 billion in 2028. But are you still concerned about our ability to defend ourselves?
Well, yes, indeed, because you need much more capable sort of systems to actually deal with the sort of threats that we're talking about. I mean, the UK alone is not capable of dealing with missile attack right now, and Ireland certainly can't. It absolutely needs more defence. But I appreciate with the GDP the size of Ireland, it needs cooperation with its allies. One of the things I suggested is that, as I said, in the Irish very large 880,000 square kilometres economic zone, NATO actually conducts more military exercises in order to demonstrate presence and commitment. Mm-hmm. It's the high seas, you know, it's not subject to Ireland's jurisdiction as long as people don't interfere with your economic interests there, you know, the energy infrastructure and the fishing and things like that. But as I pointed out in the House of Commons, an American aircraft carrier can, with all legality, operate 13 miles off the west coast of Ireland. We need to take advantage of that. Ireland needs to rely on its friends, amongst which I include the United Kingdom.
And can you explain to us more about the threats that you believe are imminent? I mean, you believe, for example, that China will soon be in our waters. Why would that be?
Well, China is very interested in everything we do in the free world. We've seen Chinese merchantmen lingering a long time west of Ireland. Increasingly, I think we'll see intelligence gathering in the same way that the Russians have, and it won't have escaped your notice, Claire, the way the Russian and the Chinese embassies in Dublin are building significantly greater sort of resources and facilities there. And that basically is to conduct surveillance and conduct electromagnetic activities within our societies and, if necessary, against our societies.
And how do you think then that this strategy that you've put forward should be progressed?
Well, we were already seeing that Ireland's cooperating with quite a lot of the NATO and European centres of excellence for infrastructure protection, offshore zones and things like that. What I've suggested is that Ireland and Britain, regardless of what is happening with regard to unification, should say, look, we need a common security and defence strategy, which, of course, would transition into any arrangements if there were unification. But right now we need it. Let's do it. We can help each other.
Would a united Ireland necessarily, though, negate that or frustrate that common defence strategy?
Well, it depends what agreements are made. I mean, what would concern the United Kingdom is, as I said, this missile gap that would occur to the West in case there weren't sufficient provision for surveillance and intercept, and also the deployment of our ballistic missile submarines through the North Channel. Obviously, with the United Ireland, you've got a very narrow gap there that they'll need to deploy. There'll need to be agreements in place to allow that to happen. So any statements about nuclear-free zones and all that sort of thing, or any neutrality, would upset that. But we need to have a common approach. You know, we live together in these islands, and I'm afraid geopolitically it makes us vulnerable, the fact that Ireland has such a low level of capability.
Now, in reading Mark Paul's report on this in the Irish Times, on your presentation to the House of Lords, I was just interested to see that you think there's an immense amount of talent in the Republic that's not being exploited. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, we only have to look back in history to see what, there's two things. One is, you know, the Irish are great fighters. I mean, it's something in the temperament. That's the first thing. I believe
militarily or when we're out and about?
Well, I've seen that at Croke Park. I've played, you know, I respect Irish. I've said many times, you know, we can do it with the British and Irish Lions. Look, the Irish are great fighters. I'm Welsh. You know, we've contributed a lot to Britain over the centuries. Some of the greatest generals from World War II, of course, came from Ireland, you know, like Montgomery, Auchinleck, Alan Brooke and people like that. There's immense talent within Ireland. I detect there's immense energy as well to go out and do good things. We need the Irish right now to defend the free world. It's as simple as that.
So if there is a situation where, you know, you have conflict between the UK and Russia, you want Ireland on side, essentially?
Well, I think there won't be conflict between the UK and Russia. It'll be between NATO and Russia, I suspect. It's been a long sort of debate as to whether Ireland should be part of NATO. You'll remember in the late 1940s, there was a discussion about Ireland joining NATO if, of course, there was a unified Ireland. And that has been bumbling along ever since. As I said, if not Ireland is going to join NATO, come in at minimalist level so that Ireland then has a commitment in case it is attacked or indeed it wants to help its allies. That's the point.
Chris, thank you for your time. Rear Admiral Chris Parry there, who's former NATO commander. 51551, let us know what you think about that. Should Ireland join NATO in the same way that Iceland has joined NATO? Do we need to be part now of an alliance, given that everything has changed utterly geopolitically? And do you think a united Ireland would frustrate all of that and would frustrate cooperation in particular with the UK? Our WhatsApp number, if you want to get in touch, is 0870 32 32 32. Later on, we're going to be live in Boston, where the jury is deliberating in the trial of the Dublin firefighter Terence Crosby, who's accused of raping a 29-year-old woman on the St. Patrick's Day weekend of 2024. Next, though, why farmers are accusing the National Parks and Wildlife Service of putting young farmers off the land.